Rishus Haros Yeshiva, Rabbanim, Chazanim, Kol HaKahol HaKadosh Hazeh. And may I add, this is really a holy place between Rabbanim and Chazanim. There are a lot of clay kodesh here today and over these couple of days. My name is Leon Kahn, cantor of the Washington Heights Congregation and president of the Cantorial Council of America. And we are privileged today to join the Rabbinical Council of America under the leadership of Rabbi Heshy Billet and the Executive Vice President, Rabbi Steve Dworkin, in presenting this session this afternoon. I once heard, I think it was from Dr. Lamb, we said, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Omeid, Al HaTorah V'al Avoda V'al Gemilas Chasodim. And he said that the Torah is represented by the Rabbi, and the Avodah is presented by the Shliach Tzibur, by the Chazan. And when Rabbis and Chazanim get together, then you have Gemilas Chasodim. The topic for this afternoon is Nusach HaTfilah, which concerns all of us in the room, not only Chazanim, but Rabbanim as well, rabbis of shuls, who unfortunately may not have Balei Tfilah, a permanent Balei Tfilah and Chazanim in their shuls, sometimes have to double up as a Balei Tfilah, whether it's during the year in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So it's a topic that is important for everyone in this room. And so, Rabbi Schechter doesn't need an introduction. Of course, he's the Rosh Kollel of the Marcus and Dina Katz Kollel, the Rosh Yeshiva Ritz. He's all of us, many of us could say he's our Rebbe, but I have one over you. He's also my neighbor here in Washington Heights. So it's my privilege and cover to present to you the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Herschel Schechter.
Thank you very much. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was, of course, a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He was very convinced that his Rebbe's Nusach HaTfilah, I'll speak about Nusach, the text of the Tfilah, and Nusach the Nigunim, we'll get to that also. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner was very convinced that from all of the Nuschos HaTfilah, his Rebbe, the Groz Nusach, was the most correct. And nonetheless, they quoted the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that when he would daven by the Balabatim, he would daven with their Nusach HaTfilah. When he davened in the yeshiva, when he davened for himself, Tfilah Balachash, he would daven the Rebbe's Nusach HaTfilah. So many of the people who learned in the yeshiva are very convinced that Rav Soloveitchik's Nusach HaTfilah is the most correct, or perhaps the only correct, whatever. And some feel that they're more convinced about the Rav's Nusach HaTfilah than Rav Chaim Volozhiner was convinced about the Vilna Gaon's Nusach HaTfilah. But still, when you're davening with the Balabatim, if you're davening for an Amud, so Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I think, would recommend that we should daven whatever nusach they have. And when we daven privately, daven tefillah belachash, we daven in the yeshiva for an omitz, and then you daven your Rebbe's nusach hatfilah. There is an inyan of Parish Menat Sibur. The Rav pointed out that the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva lists off people who are considered terrible balei averus, and one of them is the one who is Parish Menat Sibur. And the Ravid is massing on the Rambam. He doesn't understand exactly what's the nature of the Avera. What's the Gatan? Is he Ovid Avid Azor? He already said Ovid Avid Azor. Is a Dina Kakam. If he's Machal Shabbos Professor, he already gave him a Partsio. Who is this person who is Parish Menat Sibur? So the Rav said the name of his father, that the Rambam holds that Parish Menat Sibur is a separate concept. A person is not really doing any Avera. It's just a Shabbos Fazich. He just doesn't go along with the tzibur. So one is parish menat tzibur. That itself constitutes a serious aver. And based on this, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained that the Rambam's opinion seems to be that menhogim, private menhogim, are not really binding. Only menhogi hatzibur are binding. Menhogi hatzibur are binding because if one violates the minhag hatzibur, so that constitutes a parish menat tzibur. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't paskin like that Rambam. We paskin even private menhagim are also binding. That a neder, minig is mitam neder, the Gemara says. And the Rambam has a whole different shot in that Gemara, what it says, that minig is mitam neder. So the Maharil writes that on one occasion, he used to daven for an omen, he was about to feel. On one occasion, he was davening in the village of Regensburg. So he decided that since the Rabbein Ephraim from Regensburg had composed a certain piyut, there were two Rabbeinu Ephraim, both of whom composed piyutim. If you ever go to a bris by Breuer, so they say a long piyut in the middle of the benching by a different Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim from Buna, he composed piyutim, and the famous Rabbeinu Ephraim from Regensburg with the Chaticha Nas Nevela B'Shari Sumer and all the other things that Tosfos quotes from the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Barbuta fish and all the other funny things. So that's the other Rabbeinu Ephraim. So the Maharil writes he was davening in Regensburg on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and he said, how can he miss up an opportunity to say the piyut that the Rabbeinu Ephraim from Regensburg compares to his davening in Regensburg? And the Balabatim said, but Rebbe, we never say that piyut. So he said, no, how can you not say it? It was composed by the Rebbe, by the Rav from the Maradasra, from this community. So he insisted on saying that piyut. And then later on, he lost his daughter. Within a few months, he lost his daughter. She died at a young age, and he attributed the death of his daughter to the fact that he was Mishana the Minig, that it's not proper to be Mishana the Minhagim. If they didn't have the Minig to say that piyut, even though it was composed by the Mar Dasra who lived in the Regensburg so many years before, so if they don't say it, they don't say it. So you don't force Minhagim on the Kehila. That's considered Parish Minatziba. Why it's interesting, why did he see this as a Mida Kenegan Mida? The children died. So just as a guess, perhaps the pshat is that the whole idea of Parish Menatzibur is that you have to transmit the Masorah from one generation to the next. And if a person is Parish Menatzibur, he's not transmitting, he's breaking off from the Masorah, so then he doesn't succeed in transmitting to his daughter. The daughter died at a young age because he wasn't receiving from the earlier generation. So the Menashamayim, they thought to it that he shouldn't transmit to the next generation, perhaps. There is a tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Let's say I happen to be davening in a shul where they daven Nusach Svard, and I personally daven Nusach Ashkenaz. Or the reverse, I'm davening in a shul where they daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and I personally daven Nusach Svard. So I'm davening Tfilah Balachash, I'm not the Baal Tfilah. So Tfilah Balachash is no problem. I can say whatever my minig is. Unless I'm going to make it very obvious, very conspicuous, I'm going to be saying Tachno Nusach Svard, saying Hashem Nemagad. No one else is clapping Hashem Nemagad. So that's Parish Menatzib. But if I'm davening Shmones with Tefillah Belachish, nobody will see. What if I am the Shliach Tzibur? And so in the Tefillah, the Kol Rom, the Chazaras Hashatz, I have to say the Nusach that the Kohol has. So what about the Tefillah Belachish? Do I have the right to say my Nusach HaTefillah? Do I have to say the Nusach that the Kohol has? So this is an ongoing debate. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has in his sefer, and I was told Rabbi Soloveitchik said the same. They both felt that because the Gemara asks a question, since the Chazan is going to recite the Tefillah B'Kol Rom, he's going to say the Chazoras Hashatz out loud. So what does he have to bother to say the Tefillah B'Lachash for? So the Gemara says Aloshin Kedei LaHazder Lo Tefillah. He says it's Tefillah Balachash in order to prepare himself for that's the literal translation, in order to prepare himself for the Chazaras Hashatz that he's going to say B'Kol Rom. So if the Chazaras Hashatz is going to be in Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Sfard, whatever it's going to be, so Seichel dictates that the Tefillah Balachash should be in that same Nusach, even though it's not his personal Nusach. And if he would have been one of the Kohol, he would have davened Tefillah Balachash his own Nusach. But because right now he's serving as the Shliach Tzibur, and the Tefillah B'Kol Rom has to be the Nusach HaTzibur, so the Tefillah Balachash should be the Nusach HaTzibur as well. And Rabbi David Cohen from Flatbush disagreed then, and he disagrees now. And he sent a letter to Rav Moshe gave me a response, and he still sticks to his guns. And he thinks that it's not Muchach. He thinks that even when you're serving as the Shliach Tzibur, that's not what it means in the Gemara Kedei LaHazder Lo Tefillah. It's not that the Tefillah Balachash is in order to prepare you for the Tefillah B'Kol Rom. And if my personal Nusach is Nusach Ashkenaz, so I can say even Tefillah Balachash Nusach Ashkenaz, even though in the Chazaras Hashatz, I'm going to say the Nusach Svard, which is the Nusach of the Kehillah. So that's an ongoing question. The Shatz, who's davening the Kol Rom, a different Nusach from his own personal Nusach, what Nusach does he have to say when he's davening the Tefillah Balachash? There are sometimes, it's not clear exactly what the Nusach HaKohol is. Sometimes you'll have something in the Siddur that's in parentheses. Half of the time the Chazanah will say, half of the time they won't say. Half of the Tzibu will say, half of the Tzibu won't say. Take, for example, when you have Yontif falls out on Shabbos, so you say, V'yom HaShabbos Nechvas V'Neshana Tamim, and then you say, Zer Karban Shabbos V'Karban HaYom Ka'amur. So this is in parentheses. What does it mean in parentheses? That some people do say, some people don't say. So if the Chazan will say or won't say, you can't say that he's Mishana for the Nusach HaTfilah. because it's printed in the Siddur. In parentheses, it's half and half. So which is the more correct? Which is the more correct practice? Yes to say or not to say? So in the Balatanya Siddur, he left that out. And in the Shara Kailol, which has all of the Marmakaimis by the author of the Kabanokya and Hilchus Gittin, so he was a Lubavitcher, and he wrote a little kuntris that's called Shara Kailol to explain all the Marmakaimis for the Alter Rebbe's Nusach HaTfilah. So he quotes that Rashi in the Sefer Pardei says that that line is a mistake, that that was added on by the Baal HaTfilah, and that's not really part of the Nusach of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And the Rabbanu Shalom has the ability to figure out which is Korban Hayom and which is the Korban Shabbos. We don't have to guide him. He says that's not the, he says it's an insult. It's an insult to the Rabbanu Shalom that you say that. So I'm not familiar with any Rishonim who say Fakert. So I would assume that more correct probably is to leave it out. And it's hard to say that that's a violation of the Minig HaMokom. The Minig HaMokom is that they say that line. I don't think so. The Minig HaMokom is that half of the people say, half of the people don't say, because in the Siddur it's printed in parentheses. Or take, for example, on Sholosh Regalim, we say, so there are two nuschos where they say, Hayar HaShlucha B'Migdoshecha, or the Yad HaNishtalcha B'Migdoshecha. So they're both printed in the tefillas, both printed in the Siddur. Half of the people say this, half of the people say that. What's the difference between Hashlucha and Ishtalchas? It's interesting. I don't think I would have thought of this on my own. There is a sefer on tefillah by a Rabbi Hirsch Ferber, who is a Rav in London. He put out many svarim on Pirkei Yovis and on Chumash and on Yomim Tovim and on everything, many svarim that are being reprinted now by his Talmidim. So he has a whole sefer on Siddur, which is a liquid from different svarim. So he points out that he quotes one of the Mefarshim on the Siddur, who thinks that this issue of Nuschois really depends on the Machloikis, the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchus Beis Abchir, whether the Kedusha Samigdash was Kitcha Lasi Lavoi or Loi Kitcha Lasi Lavoi. If you say that the Kedusha Samigdash is really Kitcha Lasi Lavoi, like the Rambam, so there is the Mokam HaMigdash is Bikdushasa who I made. So why can't you just build a Mizbech and bring Karbonis to now? It does have a Kedusha space HaMigdash, so the answer is there's a mask over there. They won't let you go. Now Yad HaShlucha B'Migdashecha. They don't allow us to go in the Mokam HaMikdash. They prevent us Adayim HaZeh to go. But if you all like the Ravid, that the Kedusha HaMikdash is Loikit Shalasi Lov, means that even if there wouldn't be any Arabs there, even if there wouldn't be any mosque, we wouldn't be able to bring any Karbonis. But because Mnei Hayad Shenish Talcha B'Mikdashecha. In the year 70, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was a Yad Shenish Talcha, something happened that canceled the Kedusha HaMokam. So that's why we are unable to bring Karbonis now. So according to the Ravid, the Nusach doesn't have to be Yad HaShlucha, even if there wouldn't be any Yad HaShlucha in the present Behove. The fact that there was a Yad Shenishtalcha, the fact that there was a Churban Bayis Sheni, that canceled the Kedushas Makom. So that's the quotation that he quotes from the Sefer. This seems to be the issue involved in these two Nuschos. So this is really a Shaila Halacha L'maisa. How do you paskin? Do you paskin regarding Kedushas HaMokom, Mokom HaMikdush Kitchilasi Lovoi? So the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer in the end of Zvachim in the Likutei Halachos writes Ein Biyodeinu Lahachriya Tzesveke Dedina, and in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchus Tisha B'Av he writes again Ein Biyodeinu Lahachriya, and that's why he writes that Misofek Tameim are not permitted to enter onto the Makom HaMikdash. There's a sign there by the gate that enters into the Har Habayis. It doesn't say Misofek, it just says Jewish people are not permitted to go past this point. Because of this machlokes, according to the Ravid, it is permissible because it's loy kitchelasi lover, so you're not walking on the makom hamikdash b'kedushas hamikdash. So to say the nusach hayad hashlucha b'mikdashech, that's l'chol adeis. That is a fact. There is a yad hashlucha, there is a mask, and they don't allow us to bring makriv kabbonis. To say the nusach from the hayad shenish talcha b'mikdashech, that's really a machlokes. I would assume that the yad hashlucha is l'chol adeis. The yad shenish talcha is totally in a machlokes. So I would think that it's preferable to say the Nusach Hayad HaShlucha. I don't think that's called being Mishana for many Nusach. Everybody knows that half of the Machzorim say this way, half of the Machzorim, half of the Siddurim say that way. So I don't think that's called a Shinui in the Nusach. One rabbi tells me that he had a Hungarian Chazan in his shul for 30 years, and every time he had Rish Chodesh Benshin, he would say, Chaim Sheyesh Bohem Busho Ochlimo. And on one occasion, his father was there, this rabbi's father was there, And he started to scream, Chaim She'ein Behem Bushal Chlima. So the Chazan said again, Chaim She'eish Behem Bushal Chlima. And it's back and forth, back and forth. And the Chazan swore that where he came from, that's the Nusach, Chaim She'eish Behem Bushal Chlima. It means a different meaning. Chaim She'eish Behem, a sense of embarrassment. The way we say, the way everybody says, Chaim She'eim Behem, we shouldn't suffer Bushal Chlima. And according to this Nusach, Chaim She'eish Behem Bushal Chlima, we should be human beings with a sense of Bushal. The sense of busha often prevents us from doing things improper, from doing averis, because we have a sense of busha. Yeah, so this, of course, depends on the nusach, on the minig ha-mokom. If the minig ha-mokom in the shul really is that everybody says, Chaim She'ein Bohem Busha Chlima, this is a major shinoi. This is not like Hashlucha Shenishtalcha. Everybody knows that Tunis Chois, and half the people say A, and half the people say B. I think hardly anybody says this Chaim She'eish Bohem Busha Chlima. So that's not really right, just because he comes from Hungary, from a village, but that's what they said, and he swears that that's the nusach that they said. But in the shul, if that's not the nusach, it's not really proper to say that. We know that Rav Chaim Volozhiner was opposed to saying any bakoshes, to requesting any bakoshes of the angels, that on Friday night when he sang Shalom Aleichem, he would leave out the stanza, Baruchuni L'Sholoim, based on the Mishnah and Megillah, the Mishnah and Brachas, that says, Ha'emer Yerachucha Toivim, if somebody greets a friend and he says, the good one should bless you. So the Mishnah says, Meshaskimos, so you tell him that it's not proper to say that. So there are different interpretations in the Mishnah. Rashi himself has more than one interpretation, and the Miri collects all of the interpretations. So one of the Biurim in the Mishnah is, Ha'emer Yerachucha Toivim means, if I give you a blessing, the good angels should bless you. Hamalachim HaTovim should bless you, so that's not permissible to say that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives blessings. The angels don't give any blessings. So that's why Rav Chaim Volozhiner has said that it's not proper to say that stanza, Baruchuni L'Sholem Shalom Aleichem on Friday night. On the end of the Slichas, you have Malachi HaRachamim, Hachnisu Tfiloseinu, and so on. So he felt that it's not proper to recite these Tfilos. Machnisi HaRachamim also, that's a question whether Machnisi HaRachamim refers to the angels, or Machnis HaRachim refers to the Shluchei Tzibur. So some of those who are makel to say the Machnis HaRachim say that it doesn't refer to the Malachim, it's a request of all of the Tfilos, of all the Chazonim all over the world, that they should daven well. Machnis HaRachim are the Shluchei Tzibur, they should daven well. But the way it's usually assumed that it refers to the angels, so that's a big question. Rav Chaim Volozhiner held it's not proper to say, in other words, Umayashu Dominik. So the Chasam Sofer writes in his Tshuvas that he always used to leave it out. He said by the time you get to the end of the Slichas, everybody's rushing anyway, and you can't say everything anyway, so you're going to have to leave out something. Ben Kovako, so that's what he always leaves that out. He says, unless I'm the Baal Tfila, and the Minhag HaMakom is that you say that out loud, okay? So if that's the Minhag HaMakom, say it out loud. So Hotanish Kembrera, he's going to say it out loud, even though there's what to be mefakpek. But if there's no Minhag, if sometimes the Chazan says this piece out loud, sometimes that piece out loud, so darfenish dog, so he may as well leave this one out. Not mechuyif to say everything. If he leaves it out, his l'choladei is good. If he says it, it's a machlekes. I don't think that's a shinui in a minig. If you leave something out when it's not so conspicuous. And similarly, in the end of the slichas, also there's one slicha that has midas harachmim, as if we're speaking to the Rabbanu Shalom's Midas HaRachmim, as if it's something separate from the Rabbanu Shalom's essence itself. The Midas HaRachmim should plead with the Rabbanu Shalom that he should be kind to us. So also Rav Chaim Volozhiner was not so happy about that. So the Rebbe used to leave that out. On some occasions he would say it and change the whole grammar. Gal galaleila Midas Rachamecha. He changed the whole sentence. The other occasion, just left it out. So easier is just to leave the whole thing out and shine. I don't think that's considered such a shinui in the nusach to leave out one stanza. Ben Koka, we leave out a lot of stanzas. We don't say every stanza that's printed. We don't say everything out loud, and even softly we don't say everything. Repeating words is an old story. The Mishnah says it's not proper to repeat words. And the Mishnah says sometimes if you repeat words in Mishaskin also, that the Kohol and the Rabbanim should scream at the Chazan that he's not allowed to. He says Shma Shma. Mishaskin also, there's a popular niggun that goes around that Yimamish violate that din. Shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shma Yisrael. That's exactly what it says. Mishaskin also. You got to scream that you're not allowed to say that. So that nigin, the pashtus, that's for sure, that you're not allowed to sing that. And even if it's not the mashma like shtei rishuyas, just time to say a word twice, so the Gemara says that that's maguna, it's not proper, but it's not mishaskin also. Well, the Chazanim know the kula of the Teferis Yisrael, Amishnayis, that he writes that if it fits in with the nigin, so then it's permissible to repeat words. And he brings the haichacha from the malachim, that the malachim say kadosh, 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 Hashem tzakos. How do they say three times kadosh? They say kadosh, Hashem. The answer is because they sing b'ne'ima. It says they say b'ne'ima. So since it fits in with the nigin, so that's permissible. That's what it says in the Teferis Yisrael, Amishnayis. It's printed in the Chazanim's Shadus HaTshuvis. All the Chazanim know that. It's a difficult Teferis Yisrael, because when we all say a Volatzion, so we know the Targum says I'm not pasuk Kaddish Beshmem Rami Yilo Beshchin to Kaddish Alai Roy Badwit Kaddish Leolam Leolam Amaya. So we say that each Kaddish refers to something else. It's not Stam that it fits in when the Nigan said they're repeating a word three times. They have three different Kavonas. So it's a difficult questionable Kula. No. The Chazanim rely on it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes us on Alta Meister, the Rabbanim have been screaming for centuries, and the Chazanim are screaming back for centuries. Okay, so the Chazanim should try to the best of their ability to cut down on this practice, try little by little to do away with it, but I don't see, someone told me a strange incident that a rabbi recently gave up his position over this issue. That he told the Chazan he shouldn't repeat words, and then he says, the next time you repeat words, I'm going to leave, and he left, and he gave up his Rabbonus over this issue. It's a little strange, like the Rav told us the story when he first came to America, so the Minig was in Boston, and all of the shuls there, that they didn't duchen when Yanta fell out on Shabbos. So he says he was young, and is very insistent that it has to be his way, so he started to curse and scream and dance and everything. And he insisted on Rosh Hashanah that they have to duchen even though it's Chalias B'Shabbos. So he says he won, but he says he was fired before Yom Kippur. I don't know exactly what position he had, what position he lost. He says he won the battle and he lost his Rabbanus over there. So he told us, boys, when you go into the Rabbanus, you should try to see to it that the Balabatim should duchen on Shabbos, but it's not worth losing your shtela over this issue. You have to pick your fights. So here also I don't see, there's an altamize about repeating the words, the Chazar repeat the words, and Yeshlem al-Meshi Yismochu, no, they have this deference, Yisrael, even though it's difficult. So I wouldn't recommend that any Rabbanim should resign over this issue. They should have a Seder to learn with the Chazanim, they should learn Hilchas Tvila, they should learn Shulchan Aruch, they should learn Daf Yomi with the Chazanim, they should get together with him and try to have Hashpoah Benimus, not to walk out and not to resign from the Rabbanis over this. The Gemara in the end of Sotah speaks about the importance of reciting Kiddush in the middle of a Avolat Zion. The Gemara calls it Kiddush de Sidra. So in the Shulchan Aruch there is a dispute between the Mechaber and the Ramo whether this Kiddush de Sidra is treated like a Dovish B'Kiddusha, that you can only say it if you have Asorah, you have to have a Minyan, or even a person who's davening privately can also say the Kiddush de Sidra. So according to the Mechaber, you have to have a minyan, and you have to say Bamir of the Aniyah. The Chazan says Kadosh, Kadosh, and the Tzibur says Kadosh, and the Chazan says Baruch, and then the Tzibur says Baruch, and so on. And the Ramo is Meikel, he says that it's not necessary, that you could even say Beichidus. So that's why the minig in most shuls is, by Ashkenazim, that we follow the Ramo, and since you even say Kadosh at the Sidra Beichidus, even when you're davening in shul, we don't have Amir of Aniyah. You don't have the Chazan say Kadosh Atlan, and the Tzibur answer Kadosh. The Chazan says Baruch, and the Tzibur answers Baruch, they don't bother. Yeah, but even according to the Ramo, that it doesn't require a minyan, it doesn't have to be recited as a Dovish B'Kedusha, the Ramo will admit that if you do have Amir of the Aniyah, then you do elevate the recital to the level of a Dovish B'Kedusha. So you have nothing to lose and everything to gain if you have 10 people in shul. If you don't have, I remember on one occasion years ago in Maimonides, I think when it was still in Roxbury or wherever it was before it went to Brookline, so in the earlier Gilgal, so I remember they didn't always have a minyan on Shabbos afternoon to Minchas. So I remember once it was getting very late, and there was no minyan. So Rav Soloveitchik said, okay, we got to daven before the Shkia. So we started to daven. So a fellow put on a talis as if he's going to be the Shlech Tzibur just in case a minyan does show up the last minute. And he said, Ashrei, then we started to say Avodat Zion. So the Rav told him, but don't say Kodosh out loud, because you only say Kodosh out loud when you have a minyan. So you're making it into a Dovish B'Kedusha with Amir of the Aniyah. If you don't have a minyan, then we follow the Ramo, but you can't make it into a Dovish B'Kedusha. So you have to say B'Davka without Amir of the Aniyah. But if you have a if you have a minyan, so even the Ramah would admit, why not say by mir of aniyah? I don't think this would constitute a shinuf in the minyan just because for so many years they never had amir of the aniyah in a volatium. Moshe Feinstein writes about this. It's not that they have a minyan bedafke not to. They didn't have the minyan to make into a davar shebikdusha. You can't. It's not considered a shina minyan. Just because they were never medaktig about that doesn't make it into a minyan bedafke not to make. Also, there are different nuschos. Each community should follow their nusach if there's a clear-cut minig in this makom. Birnbaum, Rav Soloveitchik was very upset. I remember he said in Shir, who gave Dr. Birnbaum the right to paskin for all of Klal Yisrael, that he likes nusach Hamburg. Bianchi Femden lived in Hamburg, so he printed nusach Hamburg. So he said, who gave Birnbaum the right to paskin nusach Hamburg for all of Klal Yisrael? He thought that it wasn't right. He thought that every community should maintain whatever their minig is, whatever their minig always was. He said each minig has a whole basis, and Aloha gave a whole shiur about that. What's the background of this minig? Yes to say, not to say. The Lakeinu Kev Senet Seidun L'Chosenu. Of course, sometimes if the minig amokim is betoyis, then you're not permitted to follow the minig. If they mispronounce a word or they say something that's absolutely out of place. Yeah, that's what the Rishonim say. There's a Tshuvas Rabbeinu Tam quoted by the Mordechai. The minig is Osias Gehenim, the same four letters. Mem, Nun, Hey, Gimel is the same letters as Gimel, Hey, Nun, Mem. And the Tosis on the first daf in Bava Basra, Dav Beis Amin Aleph, shows from the opening Mishnah in Bava Basra that sometimes there's a minig amokim that you're not permitted to follow because it's a minig betoyis. But a chazan shouldn't take upon himself to make this decision that this is a minig betoyis and therefore we don't follow. You have to consult the rabbi. Once in a while the chazan will be more learned than the rabbi, maybe more than once in a while. Sometimes you have chazanim on more knowledgeable than the rabbi, especially in the Nusach HaTfilah, but still, even if the chazan is more knowledgeable, you should still consult with the rabbi to determine whether this is considered a minig tois and you're not permitted to follow this practice or not. And the same thing to determine what is the minig amokim. This Dechemet quotes Machrayim. That just because the Balabatim say that by us the minig is we do see Avirachim, you don't see Avirachim, doesn't necessarily mean anything. You have to ask the Rabbonim, what is the minig amokim? A lot of times Balabatim don't chap that there may be there were other considerations, that there was a bar mitzvah, there was a chosen, there was a bris, there was something else going on. And they didn't realize that they left that takna, maybe it's Yom Ha'atzmaut, maybe that's why they said takna, whatever. There could be all kinds of considerations why they did it. They didn't say tachnun, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they picked up the minig properly. So that's what this Dechemet quotes from the classical Achrenim, that you have to ask the Rabbonim in order to determine what is considered the minig toys, what is considered the minig and what is not considered the minig.
Rabbi Shechter will answer questions at the end of his lecture.
Okay. I'd like to speak a little bit about Nusach HaTfilah de Nigunim. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim had to sing Nigunim. And we know in Tanakh, it says, in Devarayomim, it says that they used to play musical instruments to accompany these Nigunim. And the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim, whether this is Lihikuvo, is it only Levasume Kola, the playing of the music was only a Hida Mitzvah, and the Iker Mitzvah of the Shiras HaLevim is really just the singing, or was it really Lihikuvo? The question is the nigunim that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. Every day they composed new nigunim, every year. A new Baal Tefillah comes, a new Baal Menag, and a new Chassidish Rebbe comes and he makes a new nigun, or do they really have traditions, ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu? My guess would have been that they had every year someone that had a good Baal Menagina, and they would compose everything new. In the Hakdamah to the Sefer Pa'as HaShulchan, by the Talmud of the Vilna Goyen, he has a long Hakdamah, he writes about different things from the Vilna Goyen. So he says, the Vilna Gaon used to say that many of the Nigunim that the Levim sang in the Beis HaMikdash were traditions from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. And these Nigunim that they had in the Beis HaMikdash from the days of Maim and Har Sinai, these had big Seudas HaKabbalah in them, and one who would listen to these Nigunim would have the ability to gain insight in Limud HaTorah, Seudas Kabbalah, that one just learning using his mind would not be able to figure out on his own. he says a lot about these nigunim that the Levim had in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know if that necessarily means that they never composed any nigunim in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that there were nigunim, at least some of the nigunim of Lamaish Messina. Can we really say that the nigunim that we sing for Luchadoidi or for whatever, these are Lamaish Messina? Most probably not. Pardon me? Yeah. But the question is, what about the niggin? What about the niggin come all the way back? Probably not. Probably didn't come from the days of Maimon Hasina. Pashtus says it didn't come. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Maharil that it's not proper, and the Ramah quotes in Hilchos Yom Kippur, that it's not proper to be Mishana the niggin. That's in the same paragraph, and the Maharil says that when he visited Regensburg, he said that Piyot was composed about Ben Ephraim in Regensburg, and he lost his daughter. His daughter died within a few months. And then he says, you're not allowed to be Mishana the Nigunim, but he doesn't say that that's an Aveira. He just explains Pasha because you'll Tzedrei the Olam. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. When the Ramah quotes in Hilchos Yom Kippurim that you're not allowed to be Mishana the famous Nigunim, some sections of the Tvila have no Nigun Kavua. So every Baal Tvila composes his own Chol Maminim or and so on. Every Baal Tefillah composes his own niggun. Even those parts of the davening that have a minute kavua, what the nusach is, the Ramah doesn't quote the Maharil as saying that that's it, that the niggun has kiddushin. If you change the niggun, you mishana the minute. He doesn't say that. He says, you'll tzedrei the oilam. I can understand this very well. I daven in the yeshiva all the time, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So our Baal Tefillah, with all the respect, leave something to be desired. They're not so gewaldic. The words they have good, and the kavanas they have good, and the niggun is the hingtunta. The niggun is very schwach. So my father-in-law, Zichron Lebracha, used to be a beautiful Baal Menagin. All the people who remembered him from Tardas, they remembered his Karech HaNigin. So my wife, davens in the yeshiva, she's ready to drop dead. Roshana Yom Kippur, what kind of a davening is this? Mahargat Avek, the ganze davening. Or the people who learned in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and they're used to the davening so beautiful, then they go to another place, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they can't take it. So what do? So they hum under their bunches, they'll hum the nigunim, they'll sing their nusach atvila, they'll sing the nusach that is ma'oireh them. So that's what the Ramah writes over here in the name of the Maharil. You shouldn't be mishana the nigunim because the people are expecting something else and you're going to tzedrei the oilam. But if, let's say, you decide to change the whole nigun and it's not tzedrei the oilam enjoys it. Olam enjoys. So I don't think you can say that there's an Issa that you mishana the minhagim. I don't think there's a minute kavua. You just have to be careful that the niggun has to fit in with the words. Like the Maisa Shehoya, the Chazam is saying, the niggun doesn't fit in. It says, that's chasana dancing music and this is crying. I remember the Rav once gave a drosh in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That he says the first time he davened on the Yom Kippur in Germany, he says that he hears the way they sing, Oshamnu, such a niggun, he says, in Eastern Europe when he davened, they would be crying when he said Oshamnu. He was wondering, what are they crazy over here? Such a cheerful niggun. Then he thought it over. He said, maybe they have such a tradition from the Bali Atesvis, that they're happy about gaining the kapara, so that's why they sing it in such a niggun. And then he gave a whole drasha that it's called Yom HaKippurim, it's not called Yom Kippur, because there are different ways to acquire kapara. In Eastern Europe they sang a sad niggun, and here in Germany they sang a happy niggun because they're happy about kapara. So he says, okay, if you can understand. But the Baal Tefillah who wants to introduce some new niggun has to be careful that it should fit in. You have to have a happy niggun for the happy parts of the davening and a sad niggun for the sad parts of the davening. It has to be something sensible. And he shouldn't introduce a niggun where he's going to kill the whole kavanah. He's going to say the last half of the pasuk with the first half of the next pasuk, hargabek the whole liver. That's ridiculous. Or to force in a niggun where he's going to have to repeat words. So that's just artificial. If you want to introduce a niggun, it should be a niggun that enhances the kavanah satfila. There is an issue that we spoke about on more than one occasion. In Germany, they had many Reform synagogues, and they had some religious people. They had people compose nigunim for the nusach hatfilo for these Reform synagogues, but they had mixed choirs. Mixed, they had men and women singing in the choirs. And they have a section in the nigunim that they composed for the women who had the high voices. And now when the Orthodox when Rabbi Hirsch and all the others in the Orthodox synagogues wanted to compete with for the Balabatim, they wanted to get the Balabatim to daven by them, so they had to sing the same Nigunim. But they couldn't have women singing in the choir, so they had young boys. And my boys, obviously, to be in the choir, they used to sing the high part. That was miyuchad for the women. So the shail is, are you allowed to sing such a nigun that was composed for a Reformed temple? Vaharaya, that has a section for the women to sing. So you substitute a young boy who has a shrill voice to sing that part. Is that permissible to sing such a nigun? Rav Shlomo Eger, in the Gilya Marsho and Yerideya, in the beginning of the third chelik, you have Hilchas Shavuos and Hilchas Nedarim. So there's one simon, I think it's Reish Yudala, the simon about a minig, that a minig toiv is binding mitam neder. Not like the Rambam. The Rambam holds only minigat tzibur, but minigat yochid is not binding. The Rambam seems to hold the minigat tzibur is binding because otherwise you perish minat tzibur. And we assume in Shulchan Aruch, like the Bali Ateises, the Ran and the Dorm Daf Payal quotes the Bali Ateises, that every minig is binding mitam neder, as if the Rabbon, as if the person had taken neder to observe this. So the Reb Shlomo Eger there has a little bit of a discussion of Minhagim. So he quotes from Achrayim that if you have a beautiful minig toiv that was introduced by an Adam Rasha, so it's not permissible to practice that minig. Why? Mistam, I'm guessing, I never looked up the tshuva in the original source. I don't know if they'll give a tam there. I was assuming that whenever you want to be mechadish anything in Yiddishkeit, there has to be lishma. The Talmud tells us if a person learns shalol lishma, the world doesn't come to an end. A person does mitzvah shalol lishma, the world doesn't come. Would have been much nicer if he would have done it lishma, religiously motivated, but even if you do shalol lishma, it's nishgefela. But what if a person wants to be mechadish? He wants to found a new yeshiva shalol lishma, because he wants to be a president of a yeshiva. He wants to found a new shul. He wants to found a new shul shalol lishma. He wants to write a sefer. What does he want? Because his Torah, he's afraid. No, he wants to get a good shidduch. I remember there was a fellow from the Bronx, and he wanted the Chassidish Rebbe's daughter. He wanted the Rebbe's daughter to marry him. The Rebbe wasn't going to look. He was a Baal Tshuva. The Rebbe's not going to look at him. So he put out a sefer, thinking the Rebbe would understand the sefer. He put out a sefer of Chiddush Torah that the Rebbe should be inspired by him, and he should be interested in letting his daughter marry. He married a different girl. Wasn't shy. So to put out a sefer shalol lishmo, that's a big problem. To be mechadish shalol lishma, that's not right. To come up, that's what the Netziv has in his tshuvas in several places. He speaks about the contradiction between the two gemaras. One gemara says not so bad if a person learns shalol lishma, mitoch shalol lishma bol lishma. The other gemara says it's terrible that a person learns terrible shalol lishma mut noyach lo ilanapch shul yosa al panav. It would have been better that he should have been aborted before he was born. It's the worst thing in the world that such a person is roaming around on the face of the earth. It's an open contradiction. The Rashi and Tosis give the answer that there are different types of shalol lishma. If the person is learning lakantir to show everybody else that they don't know, so that's terrible. We learn shalol lishma to get covered, to get a shidduch, whatever, so that's not to get money, so that's not so bad. And the Netziv suggests his mahalach, and he has it in quite a few places in several of the svarim, that it makes a difference if you're learning vasishteit or you're being mechadish something. To be mechadish shalol lishma, that's not permissible. To found a new yeshiva shalol lishma, to found a new minyan shalol lishma, to be mechadish a new minig shalol lishma. Whenever you want to be mechadish something new, that has to be religiously motivated. So I can understand what Rav Shlomo Eger quotes from the Achrayim. If you have a new minig toiv, a beautiful minig, seems to be beautiful, a beautiful minigin, but it was composed for a Reformed temple, or it was composed by an Adam Rasha, let's say. See, can you really say that was done lishma? Can you really consider that? Maybe, yeah, maybe no. It's questionable in the lishma. So perhaps that's the reason why a minig toiv that was introduced by an Adam Rasha should not be observed. So that's why that's really a problem. The Lavandovsky Nigunim, which were composed for these Reformed congregations, that's a shaila. Are you permitted to sing these Nigunim in Orthodox shuls? I remember I raised this issue many years ago. So I think Leon Metzger brought it to Rabbi Schwab's attention. Yes, Nakasha. What about this? Rabbi Schwab said it always bothered him for many years, and he always had in mind to ask Rabbi Breuer, and he never asked him. Rabbi Breuer passed away, and he thinks the teretz probably is that Lavandovsky wasn't mechadish all of these nigunim. He took the old nigunim and he just touched them up here and there. I don't know. Maybe it's so. Maybe it's not. I'm not familiar. But Rabbi Moshe Feinstein also has such a tshuva. If you have beautiful nigunim that were composed years ago by a person who used to be religious and now he's no longer religious, are you permitted to sing the nigunim that he composed before he was Yotze the Tarbusro? So he has a long tshuva. He says yes. Bottom line, he says yes. But he's assuming that if a person is Yotze the Tarbus Roa, if you have such a case, if a person is Yotze the Tarbus Roa, he can pose his Nigunim, it's taka not right to use those Nigunim. Because that's like Reb Shloim Eger, he doesn't quote it, but that's like Reb Shloim Eger says, that if you have a Minik Toiv that was introduced by an Adam Rasha, taught to say that that's considered Lishmo. Sometimes it is, but it's hard to say. Sometimes the Chazanim will pick up secular, very often the Chazanim will pick up secular tunes or nigunim that were composed by famous musicians. So this was always the practice. Throughout all the generations, it was always the practice. I just have a little bit of a hesitation as far as this is concerned. There's a famous line in the Zohar that's quoted by Rab Chaim Balozhin and Nefesh HaChaim, and others quote this, Man de nofach, mitoichei nofach. When a person blows, when a person is manufacturing a glass container, so he blows, and the air comes out from his kishkas and he blows in. So the Zohar says this on the pasuk, Va'ipach bi'apav nishmas chayim, the Rabbanu Shalom blew in Nefesh HaChaim into the human being, so the Rabbanu Shalom blew in a chelek from Elokus. Whatever that's supposed to be. That's what the Chumash describes. So we usually assume that any original composer, whether he's composing music, or he's writing a book, or he's making a painting, or he's making a statue, or whatever, he puts in his whole neshama, he puts in his mahus. He puts in a chunk of himself into that. So if you have music that's composed by goyishe composers, it represents a goyishe neshama. So how can you take these goyishe things and carry them over into davening? You have to be megayer them a little bit. If you convert them a little bit, you Judaize it. Okay, so you made it. You can be megayer a nochri also. You can be megayer a nochri also. But just to take the niggin itself, a secular niggin, composed by a Nachri, composed by a secular Jew for secular purposes, and just to carry it over into the Tefillah, I find that questionable. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that a Chazan who sings love songs should not be allowed to daven for an omen. One who sings Shirei Agavos should not be allowed to daven for an omen. What is this all about? So I always thought that it's along the lines of the Gemara in the end of Sota. The Gemara says, what keeps the world going? There's so many people who are sinning, how come the world doesn't collapse? So the Gemara says, Hevel p'em shel tinoiko shel beis rabban. The little children who are learning Abba Ben, they're learning Siddur, and they're learning Chumash, that's what keeps the world going. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What do they know? What about the DVD doch? What about our learning? We learn Gemara with Taisus, with Marsha, with Rab Baruch Be, with Rab Chaim. A much higher level. What the children's learning, Hevel Pim, is nothing. It's just dumb. They just know how to read the words. So the Gemara says, no. We have already defiled our lips full of machloikis and kinin and sin and lashon hara and evil peh, all kinds of things. So the learning that we do is not on such a high level because we have defiled our lips. The little children don't know yet. They're not yet mature. They don't know how to have kinin and sin and evil peh and machloikis and lashon hara and rechilis and all this stuff. So their divrei Torah are pure. So the pure Divrei Torah that they say is on a much higher level than the defiled lips that give the high level of learning. That's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. That's how the Chafetz Chaim talks about that. So I always had the feeling that that's probably what it means over here. You have a Shliach Tzibur, he's going to daven for an omer. He's not just a member, one citizen in the minyan like everybody else. He's offering the Tfilos HaTzibur. He's offering the Tfil on behalf of the whole Tzibur. That's what the... I was told one of the previous Rabbanim who spoke for the Chazan and mentioned this, that the Shilti Gibbarim, the end of Rosh Hashanah, points out that the Chazan Hadamim's phenomenon is like the coin of the Beis HaMikdash. He's Makar of the Korban and all of the Tmidim and Musafim and all of Klal Yisrael Ayyotz, even the people who didn't go to Shul. The Am Shabbasodis, the Gemara says, the Am Shabbasodis, the people on the farms, Ayyotz. So if he's offering the Tefillah on behalf of everybody, and he has defiled his lips by singing Shiri Agoves, so the Koyach of the Tefillah is going to be upgeschwacht. So we should expect of the Chazanim more than of the citizens of the shul. The Chazanim have to be more careful the way they use their lips. They should be more medaktik. And the Rabbanim should also. The Rabbanim are using their lips for Divrei Torah. Okay, all of us, Rabbanim, the Chazanim, all of us are supposed to be using our lips for Divrei Torah and Tefillah, so we should be careful more than the Hamoinam not to use these lips for Machloikis, Kinen, Sinne, and Nivol Peh, and Lashon Hara, and Rechilas, and so on and so forth. And this way we will enhance the tefillah and the Divrei Torah that we say. I just wanted to run through some halachas that I'm sure everybody's familiar with, but it doesn't hurt if we review them again. We all know there is a concept of Sovzman Kriya Shema. We all know that not all the Balabatim know this. Those who are knowledgeable, they start davening 9 o'clock in the morning on Shabbos morning, so usually you're not going to make Sovzman Kriya Shema. So some of the people in Shul know you got to say Kriya Shema before you start davening. Many of the Balabatim do not know this. So sometimes the Zmane Kriya Shema with tefillah are such that if the Chazan will not be Marech and Kel Odin, and it won't be Marech and Shoichenad and so on, it'll just go be Kitzer, you will make the Sovzman Kriya Shema. And because the Chazan decides to give a long concert on Kel Odin that takes 25 minutes, so that's going to cause those people that didn't know to say Kriya Shema, but that's going to cause them to miss the Zman Kriya Shema. So that season of the year, I would assume that it's not right. The Chazan should let him sing Tikanta Shabbos. Let him sing something after the Sovzman Kriya Shema. Let him not sing at that time. If Ben Kovako, you're not going to make Zman Kriya Shema. Ben Kovako, you are going to make Zman Kriya Shema. So Mehecha Teisa. So let the Chazan enhance the tefillah by saying a beautiful Kel Odin. But if this is going to make or break the Tzibur, and not everybody knows that you're supposed to say Kriya Shema before. So that's not really right. In fact, many Achrenim have a minig. This was Rav Soloveitchik's minig, that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur he never said any piyutim in Birchus Kriya Shema by Shachris. By Ma'ariv he did say. By Shachris he didn't say. So the reason, the official reason that they give is because they're afraid. You'll say long piyutim, you may... He starts so early, no chance he's going to miss the Zman Kriya Shema. But that was the meaning they had in many communities in Europe, not to say any piyutim and Birchas Kriya Shema in the morning on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to make sure that you don't miss the Zman Kriya Shema. Also, everybody knows, the Rabbonim know, the Chazanim know, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that L'chatchila, it's not proper to begin Musaf on Yom Kippur, usually the issue on Yom Kippur, after half an hour after Chatzos, when it's already Zman, the Zman to Davin Mincha. So it's the Gemara says, if a person, it's already the Zman for Mincha, half an hour after Chatzos, and you can Davin Mincha and you can Davin Musaf. If you don't plan to Davin Mincha, you're going to go home and eat, let's say, on Simchas Torah. You're going to go home and eat, and then you're going to Davin Mincha later, so then there's no Shalom. Let's say Yom Kippur. No one's going to go home and eat. We're in Shul. We can either daven mincha now, we can daven musaf now. So the Gemara says, Tore b'shem and Tore Tore Kodim, you're supposed to daven mincha first, and then daven musaf. The only thing is, b'tzibur, also you do like that. Mitzvah the gan soilam. The people are going to think you're crazy. You're davening mincha before musaf. So that's a whole machloikis and the Rishonim, the Rambam, and Agos Maimini. Do you do that practice, b'tzibur, also just b'yochid? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, in order not to lozach harayin in a machloikis, so you should make sure that you start davening musaf, the tefillah b'lachasha musaf, before a half an hour after Chatzos. I remember on one occasion in my father's shul many years ago, it was already holding by the Zman, it was almost a half an hour after. So my father, on Yom Kippur, you have to ask the Gaboyim to cut short the Misha Beirach. So usually people like to say they only come once a year, three times a year. So they paid so much money for this aliyah, they want to get all the Misha Beirachs that they can. So you have to tell the Gaboyim, they should cut short the Misha Berachs to make sure that it'll be time. So I remember on one occasion, it was mamish, the time for Musaf, it was almost a half an hour after Chatzos. So my father told the Chazan he has to leave out Hineni. Hineni used to be a whole major production. The Chazan used to march from the back of the shul to the front with a robe, with a talus, with the whole thing. So the Balabatim almost got a heart attack. You're leaving out Hineni, that's like Nila, that's the Kodesh HaKadosh, the most important thing. If the Chazan wants to say Hidini, so they should hurry up in the Shachris. They have to, everything has its place. Our practice is, by the Ashkenazim, we only duchen on Yomim Tovim. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not proper, if you can avoid it, it's not proper that the Shliach Tzibah for Musaf should be a Kohen, because then it's going to be an issue whether he duchens or not. As it turns out, in the Yeshiva every year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we always have Kohanim. We always had, for the last 45 years, we always had Kohanim davening for Anomid. Rabbi Nochum Sauer and Shimon Kerner, we always have Kohanim davening for Anomid on Musaf and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, for many years already. So that's the Mishnah in Brachas says that if the Baal Tefillah is a Kohen, he should not duchen b'pnei hatiruf. He may get so tzedreit, he's going to go duchen, then he's going to go back to Dam Shman Esri, he may get all confused. But what happens if haftachasoi, shechoizel, he knows for sure he's not going to get mixed up. How does he know for sure? He has a machzer. We have a printed machzer, he's not going to get mixed up. So it says, if haftachasoi, he knows for sure he's not going to make a mistake, so then he can duchen and continue davening the rest of the Chazoras Hashatz. So the Tosfos Yontef on that Mishnah presents the Machlokes Achronim, how to read the Mishnah. Is that only, it's a question, the line before says, he shouldn't duchen, even if he's the only Kohen in Shul, but Menish duchen, he shouldn't duchen. But if Haftachasa, Shechazel, Tfilasa, if he knows for sure he's not going to get mixed up, then he should duchen. So that clause, that he should duchen, that only goes if he's the only Kohen in Shul. But if you have another 10 Kohanim, you have another 25 Kohanim, he's not the only Kohen, we're not going to do away with the duchening. Just the question, well, you have 25 Kohanim duchen and 26 Kohanim. So that's a big machlokes. So many Achrenim say in such a case, even though the Chazan has a machzer, he should not duchen, only if he's the only one. In the yeshiva, the practice always was, I don't know whether Rabbi Lifshitz told him this years ago, I don't know, the practice, Lamais, is that the Baal Tefillah does duchen, even though we have another 25 Kohanim. In Eretz Yisrael they do it, yeah. A lot of times they duchen every day. So a lot of times a person is a novel, a person is has yartza. So even though there are many other Kohanim, that is the practice in Eretz Yisrael. That's right, that they duchen. If you have a chazan, a Baal Tefillah, who's not a Kohen, so he's not going to be, by the way, if he's duchening, so the din in Shulchan Aruch, the din in the Gemara, is that he has to walk forward a little bit by Ritzei, before he finishes the bracha. At the end of Ritzei, he has to move a little bit, because the din is a Kohen, Shaloyok, Aragla, Bavaido, Shivein Oilu, Leduchen. So he has to move a little bit. If he's not a Kohen, and he's not going to be duchening, so does he answer Amen? Does the Chazan is in the middle of Chazor HaShashat, not allowed to be mafsik? Does he answer Amen after the duchening? So in Shulchan Aruch it says yes. After the Kohanim say, Yirach Hashem Yishmerecho, everybody including the Chazan say Amen. Yosham Panamelech Vichoneko, the Chazan answers Amen with Yosham Lecho Shalom, the Chazan also answers Amen. What about when the Kohanim say the Birchas HaMitzvah, Shekedushana Bikdushos HaShalom, it's Varon Chasam Yisrael B'Yahavah, does the Chazan answer Amen or not? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that that's a machlokes the Taz and everybody else. And most Achrenim anoite that the Chazan should not answer Amen. That Amen on the Birchas HaMitzvah, that's like somebody's Okta Shahakal, and the Chazan is in the middle of Chazaras HaShat. So you shouldn't answer Amen to that. The Duchening, that blends in, the Duchening is part of the Shemon Esri itself, so that he should answer Amen. But the Birchas HaMitzvah that the Kohanim say, most of the Achrenim recommend that the Chazan should not answer Amen. The Gemara has a din that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that very often is violated by all the Baalei Tefillah. The Gemara says, the Chazan says, Yivarech Echo, and then the Kohanim say Yivarech, then he says, Hashem, Hashem, Yishmerech, Yishmerech. So the Chazan should not say Yivarech Echo until after the Tzibur finishes answering Amen. And he shouldn't begin to say Hashem until after the Kohanim already said, finished the last syllable of Yivarech Echo. So usually what happens is it takes a long time, the duchening, word for word. So the Chazan usually, when the Kohanim are in the middle of their syllable, they're not finished, so the Chazan's Akshayin the next word. And the Chazan is always in a rush in order to save time, because he needs time for the other parts of the tefillah where he's going to be singing. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that's not right, that you have to wait. That's a din in the Gemara. He has to wait till the Kohanim finish the word, and then he starts the next word. A lot of times the Chazonim don't realize, the Gemara says the Kohanim have to hold their hands until they turn, have to hold their hands even after they finish the whole duchening, and everybody said Amen, until they turn around. They're not allowed to turn around until the Chazan starts Sim Shalom. So a lot of times the Chazan wants to give everybody a chance to say Adi Bamorim, whatever they want to say. So the Kohanim stand there forever. They're tired enough with their hands up. So the Kohanim always plead with the Chazonim, Zogshayin Sim Shalom, start already Sim Shalom, so we'll be able to turn around and put our hands down. So the Chazanim should realize what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that they're supposed to start Sim Shalom right away. Many have the practice. I don't think so. No. Chazan doesn't say Adem Alam. That's a pure. Many Chazanim have the practice that at the end of the Chazaras HaShatz, they say, they walk back three steps and they say, Yosef Shalom Emraimov, before Tachnun, on the weekdays, before Tachnun, before Behu Racham. In the Shulchan Aruch it says, you can rely on the Psius, the Gimel Psius, that you're going to walk back, the Chazan is going to walk back at the end of the Kaddish Tiskabel, which he doesn't say right away. Let's say on a normal day, what did we do this morning? So we said Chazaras Hashatz, and then after Chazaras Hashatz, you say Tachnun, or you say Behurachum, then you say Chatzi Kaddish. Then you say Kaddish Shalom, and Kaddish Tiskab Losa Shalom Ram. That's after everything. That's way later. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says you can rely, the Chazan can rely on the Gimel Psiyas at the end of the Kaddish Tiskab Lola with the end. The Mogan Avraham quotes the Achronim and say, what do you mean rely? That's going to be 10 minutes later. How does he rely? There's such a long Hafsoka. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you don't say Tachnun, so Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, right after the Chazaras Hashatz, so the Chazan right away goes into the Kaddish and he says Kaddish Tiskab and says, Shalom Aram. So then there's no Mogan Avraham telling you not to. So you see, a lot of times the Chazan and Bali Tfilo, sometimes they think that they're observing Amidas Chasidus by walking back 3 steps, Ayesha Shalom Aram, after the Chazaras Hashatz, before they say the Kaddish, that's a mistake. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, there is no issue, there is no debate. Before Halal, they should, right? Those who follow the Mogan Avraham, the Mechaber says not necessary, and the Mogan Avraham recommends that you should. Okay, let me just close with a brief comment. The Achrayim quote the Gemara in Chulin that just like in the Beis Hamikdash, the pasuk says Hakol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alai Haskil. The Gemara in the beginning of Kisei Adam that you're not permitted to change anything in the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, so too in the Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Miyad, so it's not proper to be Mishane any of the structure, any of the outline of the Beis HaKnesses. So for years and years, the practice always was that the Chazan stands in front of the Aron Kodesh in the front, not on the beam in the middle. The beam B'Emtza is supposed to be for the Kriyas HaTorah, for the Droshes HaChacham. That's how the Rambam says, for the Droshes HaChacham. Apparently the Rambam is not so keen about listening to the Chazon. So he says, everybody has to hear Kriyas HaTorah and you have to hear the Droshes HaChacham. So that's why the Kriyas HaTorah and Droshes HaChacham should be on the beam of B'Emtza, everybody should hear. And the Chazan davens in the front, if they don't hear, they don't hear. Apparently he's not so worried about that. He wasn't so excited about that. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. In Europe, they used to be very, and especially in Hungary, they were very touchy about this. The Chazman daven on the bima, reform. They wouldn't, none of the Chassam Sofer's descendants or Talmidim would ever take such a rabbonis, where the Chazan is going to daven on the bima. That's Mishana, the whole Hakol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alai Haskel, that's Yehorik V'Yav, not allowed to do that. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes, if it's Baruch Hashem a nice crowded shul, then it's so noisy. The Chazan is going to daven in the front; they won't hear a word. They'll daven in the middle. Kuli have you like? Maybe they'll hear the Chazan. So he says nishgefelach. He takes it on his shoulders. He says let the Chazan daven in the middle nishgefelach. So in some shuls that also doesn't help. So they introduce the new shinoi that the Chazan faces the tzibur. If you got to face forward, you won't hear a word. So let the Chazan face backwards. So the gedolim write that that's already reform. That's why they're not prepared to go. That's considered a major shinui, and that we should not allow. The Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Chulin says that we have to be careful not to violate Chukas Sakim, not only to imitate the way the Goyim do things, not to imitate the way the Reform do things. The Mishnah has the expression, Shalo lechakos es haminim, not to imitate the way the Apikursim do. So this has been taken as a symbol. When the Chazan faces the Tzibur, it's like a concert. Instead of everybody davening facing the Shechina, everybody davening facing the same direction, this has been taken over the years as a symbol of reform, and that the Rabbanim are not prepared to negotiate on. Okay, the Iker is the Chazanim and the Rabbanim have to get together. We have to go through every year Hilchas Tfilo, and if there's more time, we should learn together the rest of the Daf Yomi and the rest of the Shulchan Aruch. It would be a wonderful Chavrusa. All the Chazanim. There are some Chazanim who learn every day with the Rabbanim Daf Yomi. I know some of them. And even those Rabbanim who are not up to the Daf Yomi, or those Chazanim who are not up to whatever the case happens to be, so they should still learn together. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Hayonim. It's a wonderful thing. The Rabbanim and the Chazanim have to get together more often and they have to learn together. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I thought Marid Atol, the Gemara says in Tainis that Marid Atol is optional. If you want to say, say. You don't want to say, you don't say. Right. So I thought it means our minig is. We have chosen not to bother to say. But I didn't think that it meant a minig, but dafkak peter, not to say. That's what Moshe says. Sometimes you have a minig. We don't bother to do something,
But if you do it, it's not a violation. How can it be a violation of the minig if the Gemara says that it's optional? That's what I always thought. They get very touchy. As if the Hasidim are taking over. I don't know. I didn't think so. The Shivchacho, that's a question. There's nothing wrong with Shivchacho. So the Pashtus is that the minig ha-mokum is that they say v'shivchacho, they should stick with v'shivchacho. Yeah. Apparently, v'hei mishtachim lehevel v'rik was the original text, and it was taken out because of the censors, because of the Christian censors. So that's why many feel that you should reintroduce it. In Oleinu, it doesn't make such a big difference. Well, it's a real chiyuv to say Aleinu, but when you say Aleinu in the tefillah, when Aleinu was part of the davening in Malchus, so there is more of a kpeda that you should say it according to the original nusach that Anshei Knes HaGedolah composed. The tzibur does not say. Tzibur does say Hemish Tachrim. And I'm not going to say. No, whatever you say quietly, no one's going to know the difference. Whatever you say quietly is not called Parish Menat Tzibur. If the Mincha. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good.
Okay, we'd like to thank Rav Shechter very much. We'd also like to express our appreciation to Chazan Leon Kahn, the President of the Cantorial Council of America, for having the joint session together, very chashuv a session. Rav Shechter has agreed that for those interested in asking him more questions, he will be across in the tea room for questions. We will in this room be having the executive committee session beginning now. Mincha will be at 6 o'clock.